Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
One of the most important tasks in interpreting the Bible is discerning the connection between ideas. The Bible is not a hodgepodge of random verses. It's a book that builds arguments and presents complex truths laid out in progressive steps, just like the way we communicate. If someone tells you, "I'm going to a party tonight," and in the next sentence they let you know George will be there as well, you can't interpret what they're saying unless you know the connection between the two statements. If they say, "I'm going to the party because George will be there," that's very different from, "I'm going to the party despite the fact that George will be there." Most of the meaning of what we say to one another is found not in the mere sentences, but in the relationship between those sentences. It's the same with the Bible. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're studying a passage in the Sermon on the Mount where the connection between the ideas isn't immediately obvious. But knowing that connection is crucial for understanding the meaning Jesus is conveying. Right after the famous passage in Matthew 7 about "don't throw your pearls before swine" is another famous passage, "ask, and it will be given to you." Matthew 7:6, "Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." What is the connection between those two statements? Understanding that connection is a key that can unlock all kinds of insights to help you understand how to have more of your prayers answered.
Don't throw your pearls to pigs. And then all of a sudden he says, "Ask and it'll be given to you, and seek and you'll find." What does that have to do with each other? Some commentators say, well, nothing. There's no correlation, no connection. It's an abrupt, complete change of subject out of the blue. Jesus just brings up a new unrelated topic of prayer. Others will say, no, it's not unrelated. There's some connection. They've tried to find some connection, and very often what they'll say is, look, when it comes to dealing with pigs and dogs and not throwing your pearls to pigs and dogs, that's tricky, and that requires some special wisdom. And so what he's saying is, ask for wisdom and seek wisdom and knock on the door of wisdom and you'll get it. And that's one suggestion. I'm all for praying for wisdom, for sure, especially when you're dealing with pigs and dogs. You pray for wisdom. But honestly, I don't see that in the text. I don't see anything in there about wisdom. In fact, none of the suggestions I read this week were convincing to me. I didn't see any of them in the text. So what I want to do is I'm going to show you what I see as the connection. I think there's a very definite connection between verses 6 and 7 and the dogs and pigs thing and the ask and seek and knock thing. And I'll just present that to you and lay it before you, and then you can decide if you think that I'm on the right track. The first 5 verses of chapter 7 are about you remove the sin from your own heart, and then you help your brother remove the sin from his heart, right? Remember, that's what the whole thing about, get the log out of your eye, then you can get the speck out of your brother's eye. And then verse 6 tells us what to do if your brother isn't so receptive to your generous offer to remove the sin from his heart. He doesn't want your help, and he rejects it, and he tramples it underfoot. And Jesus said, when that happens, stop giving it to him. Stop giving him what's holy. Don't throw those holy things to the dogs, because it dishonors God to take his priceless, precious pearls and throw them to those who will just trample them underfoot. And so we get this shocking and really frightening principle that if you're not sufficiently interested, God's gifts will be withheld from you. God's kingdom is free, but it's available only to those who want it more than they want anything in the world. So, we don't give the truth of God's word to the unreceptive, to the pigs and the dogs that have a violent response. And the connection between all that and this ask, seek, and knock thing is this. The part about the pigs and the dogs is all about what happens to people who are unreceptive to God's word and God's good gifts. And so the part about asking and seeking and knocking show us what happens when you are receptive to God's good gifts. If you're not receptive, you get cut off. But if you are receptive, asking and seeking and knocking, then you receive all the gifts. That's the connection. Why do we not throw what's holy to dogs? Because it's holy. And throwing something to dogs would dishonor that thing. It would dishonor God. But if it dishonors God when we are unreceptive to His gift, then it stands to reason that it honors Him and glorifies Him when we are receptive to His gifts. And we can appreciate them as good gifts and treat them as the priceless treasures that they are. And so the more eager we are, the more receptive we are, the more we honor Him. And the more disposed He is to give us those good gifts. The more disposed He is to answer our prayers. See, what I think is verse 7 is it's showing us the opposite of verse 6. Verse 7 is the opposite of verse 6, and that's very important because it's not what we would naturally think. We tend to think the opposite of being unreceptive, opposite of the pigs and dogs, is being accepting. You know, just kind of a passive acceptance. The opposite of pigs and dogs is somebody that says, okay, I'll accept the pearls. That's not what the opposite is. The opposite of the pigs and dogs is not passive acceptance. It's eager, enthusiastic askers and seekers, and people are knocking on the door. That's the point Jesus is making. Typically, this passage is thought of as a passage on prayer. Right? You ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you find it. Oh, it's about prayer. I don't think this is a passage mainly about prayer. Prayer is a part of it, but I think it's much bigger than just prayer. I don't think asking, that's prayer. But I don't think seeking and knocking are necessarily just metaphors for prayer. They're expressions of eagerness. They're expressions of desire. Jesus isn't saying, pray. He's saying, be eager. You ask for something because you want it. You seek for something because you want to acquire it. You knock on a door because you want to gain entry. Receptivity is much more than just willingness to accept holy things. Receptivity is an insistent, unrelenting desire for holy things. So the connection between verse 6 and verse 7 is basically the title of the sermon. Be a son, not a dog. Dogs, you try and feed them something, they bite you. The wild dogs. Sons ask for good things from their father. And that's the point. So you say, okay, Daryl, well, if you're right here, and the main point is desire, not just prayer, then why doesn't Jesus use the word desire? The word desire is not even in this text. And I think the answer to that, the reason he doesn't use the word desire is because he's not talking about just desire. He's talking about desire in action. He doesn't want us to think in terms of a latent, passive kind of wishing, but rather desire that impels acquisition, forces you to go after it and get it. Desire that gets you moving. That kind of desire. The receptive heart is a heart that craves the good gifts from God so much that it chases after them relentlessly. I think many times our prayers are not answered because we ask, but we don't seek. You know, we request something. God, give me wisdom. Give me what? And then we don't seek wisdom. We don't take any steps to find it, to acquire it, to gain it. We say, God, let me experience your presence. Please grant me that. But we don't do anything that could actually be construed as knocking on the door of his presence. We ask for the salvation of a loved one, but we don't bother sharing the gospel with them. We ask without seeking. We pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And then we just go fling ourselves right into the thick of temptation. Asking is disingenuous when it's not accompanied with seeking and knocking. See that? When you have a request, but it's not accompanied by any effort, it shows that the request doesn't really rise up out of any real desire in your heart. It's not a real request. Sometimes our prayers are like the guy who writes a love letter to his girlfriend and says, "Oh, I would crawl over broken glass to see you. I would climb the highest mountain, cross the whitest sea, hottest desert, just to see your beautiful face. And I'll be there tonight to pick you up at 7 o'clock, weather permitting." You know, sometimes our actions just don't quite show match up with the eagerness of our rhetoric. So Jesus puts knocking and seeking right alongside asking to teach us what real asking actually is. And this isn't to say that the asking is unimportant. I don't want to downplay the importance of prayer. Asking is critical. James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. Asking places us in the right kind of posture before God. Asking helps us understand what our relationship to Him is. You know, He didn't say expect. He didn't say demand. He said ask, because God is a person and not an insurance policy. Jesus didn't say manipulate, because God is not a vending machine. He's a father. He didn't say wish, because God's not a birthday candle. He's a person. He didn't say demand it, because God is not a bellboy. We approach Him not as an insurance policy or a wishing well or a vending machine or a bellboy, but as a loving Father, wise, loving Father, loving enough to be eager to give to us, wise enough to know when the gift is good. So we ask God, and we seek. We seek. Seeking, that just simply refers to putting forth effort in order to acquire something. If you want something a little bit, you'll wish for it. If you want it a little more, you might ask for it. But if you really, really want it, you will pray and then you will go after it. And that's seeking. And then Jesus gives a third expression of eagerness, knocking. Several times in the New Testament, doors are used as a metaphor for opportunity. Usually when Paul refers to a door, that's what he's talking about. And so knocking kind of is a picture of there's an opportunity. I want to make progress. I want to go in this direction. I want to do this ministry. I have this opportunity. And there's this blockade in my way, this door, and I'm knocking. Knocking means, please, remove this obstacle so that I can move ahead. That's knocking. So knocking is kind of a combination of the first two, asking and seeking. I mean, it's knocking is a request, right? It's like the universal signal that means I'm out. It's kind of funny if you think about it. It's really what our dogs do. You know, they like scratch on the door. They just make a noise. They can't use language, so they make a noise to let us know that they want to come in. We do the same thing with knocking. It's just, that means I'm here. Please come and open the door and let me in. It's just a signal that we have. And so it's a request. It's a kind of a request. But it's an active request. It's not passive. You're not just sitting around hoping the door swings open. You're banging on it, sending a signal saying, I want in. So God cuts off the supply of His gifts to the unreceptive people, but He pours them out on the receptive people. However, receptivity is not a passive thing. It's an active thing.
Is there anything you've been asking God for, but that you haven't really been seeking in your actions? Think about your prayer list. Are there any requests on there that are really just hollow because you're asking but not seeking or knocking? You're not expending any real energy in pursuit of those things? Give some thought to what you truly want. What do you desire so deeply that you'll not only ask, but you'll take action that you can offer God alongside your prayer, so you can say, "See, God, this is how much I desire this thing."
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.